Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're continuing the discussion. Are there any doctrines I should teach my kids before they leave home? If so, what are they? And we're picking up with the gospel.
Yeah, the gospel is just essential. They've got to understand the gospel, our kids do. And now when we say that we want them to understand the gospel, we're not saying that we've got to make sure that they become regenerate Christians, because we can't do that. So we're assuming at the outset here that you and I don't have the ability to make sure that our kids become Christians. That is the domain of the Holy Spirit. Shelby and I have agreed, though, that you know we've understood that from the beginning that regeneration is the domain of the Holy Spirit, and He may choose to regenerate our kids to draw them to salvation. We can't cause that to happen. We can't persuade dead people to come to life. Only God can do that. But we decided that when our first couple of kids were a little bitty, that our children may or may not come to know the Lord, but if they didn't, it would not be because we did not put the gospel in front of them all the time. So we were going to make sure that they knew the gospel very well, so that those tools were out there in the Holy Spirit's hands to be used by Him to convert our kids. So this is just crazy important. We have to major on the gospel in our homes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Greg, in the past, you've suggested some bullet points for remembering the gospel.
Yeah, these are just short and easy to remember. And, of course, to really understand the gospel, you want to be able to flesh these bullet points out. This is just more of a memory device, we could say, to make sure that we don't leave anything out. Could be used as a memory aid with our kids for teaching them the gospel, kind of almost like a catechism type thing. But again, we want to explain these points, not just memorize them.
Right.
But they're helpful just to make sure that we don't leave anything out.
Right. Well, the first point, God is holy.
God is holy. Leviticus 19:2 says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Peter in 1 Peter 1 reaches back into the Old Testament and applies that to New Testament saints. So God's holiness places a mandate on mankind to be holy as God is holy. So God is holy is number one.
Second, man is sinful.
Man is sinful, and we're shown this all over the Bible. Obviously, first of all in Genesis 3, but Romans 3:10 through 18 says basically, there's none of us escape the truth that we are sinful. There's none righteous, not even one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So, God is holy. Man is sinful.
Third, God is wrathful.
Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So the wrath of God is the reasonable response of a holy God against the sinfulness of men. So we've got God is holy, man is sinful, God is wrathful.
The wrath of God makes me think of hell. Should we teach our kids about hell?
Oh, man. Yes, absolutely. We want to teach our kids about hell. Now, some people are afraid that if we say too much about hell, that we're going to scare our kids into a conversion or scare our kids into a false conversion. I would leave that to the Holy Spirit, too. You know, just let's just leave that kind of thing to the Lord. It doesn't appear to me that Jesus and the apostles were afraid that too much talk about hell was going to lead to false conversions.
Right.
Because Jesus talked about hell, it was like he just couldn't get over it. He talked about it more than anybody else. So hell is scary, and it is intended to be a motive for turning from our sin and toward Christ. So if we leave that out, it would seem to be an odd thing.
Yeah.
I think it's important to tell our kids about hell.
Sure. I grew up in a hellfire and brimstone church, so I remember being really young, and I vividly remember thinking to myself, I know that I'm going to hell. And I got to say, I am actually thankful for that because, I mean, it took, you know, several more years before I came to Christ, but I never forgot, never questioned the judgment of God, and I wasn't ever really scared into a false conversion. So, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, if you remove hell, then you really remove the need for a Savior, which we're going to talk about here, right, here in a second, and you remove the urgency of a need for a Savior. Jesus just becomes a good option at that point.
Right, right. Well, man is sinful, God is wrathful, so by extension of that, our fourth point, man is doomed.
Man is doomed. Matthew 3:10, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and so that there is that reference to hell, and so that's important. God is holy, man is sinful, God is wrathful, man is doomed.
But God is gracious.
God is gracious, hallelujah. Titus 2:11 teaches that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And so we're seeing, you know, we've talked about the doctrine of God in these past couple of episodes. We're seeing how those attributes of God are actually assisting us in understanding the gospel. You know, so we're talking about God's holiness here. We're talking about his wrath, and we're talking about his grace. His love is going to come up as well. So the doctrine of God works very, very closely with the doctrine of the gospel.
Right. Sixth point, Christ was given.
Christ was given. God is holy, man is sinful, God is wrathful, man is doomed, God is gracious. Christ was given. John 3:16, which we all know, is going to be helpful. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God gave Christ to be our sin bearer, so that we might be spared the wrath of God, so that we might have the righteousness of Christ, be reconciled to God, and this whole sin problem is taken care of.
You partly articulated there substitutionary atonement. Would you make a big deal about that to your kids? And if so, how big?
I would hammer that thing until it's just beaten almost to a pulp.
Yeah.
You cannot overdo the doctrine of substitutionary atonement. So I will say a couple of things about that. First, what is substitutionary atonement? Substitution, or the doctrine of, I'll say it in its full nerdy theological phrase, it's called penal substitutionary atonement, and it's the idea that Christ atoned for our sins by absorbing the wrath of God for our sins in our place. So we've got the word penal, which refers to the fact that he was punished. Substitution, that took place in our place. Atonement, it satisfied God's wrath. So Christ satisfied God's wrath by being punished in our place. Hallelujah. I can hardly say those things without getting excited. That is substitution. And it is the gospel. You know, if you take that out of your understanding of the gospel, you don't have a gospel. You don't have any good news. You do not have salvation. Hebrews 9:22 is very clear about this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And this concept of substitution, it's all over the Bible. You simply cannot be a serious inerrantist, that is, holding to the truthfulness of the Bible and not hold to penal substitutionary atonement. You also can't be saved without it. So it's important to teach our kids about it for that reason, but it's also important to teach them about it because it's under attack so much among those who claim to be Christians. So we've got this ridiculous movie that's come out recently, The Shack, based on this horrific book that came out about, I want to say it's almost 10 years ago. And then the book by the same author, I think it's called Lies People Believe About God. They should change the title to Truths That You Absolutely Must Believe About God.
Yeah, right.
Essential Things About God is what that book should be called. Our kids need to know the truth on this because the gospel is writing on it. So thumbs up or thumbs down on substitutionary atonement? 2 thumbs up. You have to teach your kids about substitutionary atonement.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 7th, man is redeemed.
Man is redeemed. So we've got God is holy, man is sinful, God is wrathful, man is doomed, God is gracious, Christ was given, man is redeemed. So we're taught in the New Testament that by repentance, Acts 3:19, and faith, John 3:16, we are saved. Repentance and faith are the appropriate responses to the gospel. Through repentance and faith in Christ, we're saved. We're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We're given eternal life. We want to talk about these things so much to our kids that it just becomes the fabric of their lives. They think in terms of the gospel.
Right. What about the gospel as it relates to sanctification?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a great thought. I would include in our teaching about the gospel that it doesn't just bring about our justification. Our justification meaning that it is not just the mechanism by which God declares us righteous, but it also is the mechanism by which God makes us more like Christ. Okay, so the gospel isn't just the doorway into the church, but it also is the ongoing life of the church. So here at Providence Bible Fellowship, we talk about rehearsing the gospel all the time. We sing about the gospel, we pray the gospel, we read about it. It has everything to do with everything that we do.
Right.
We do it all the time, and so we want to do that in our homes as well. We want to rehearse it as we read the scriptures, sing, pray, and teach. It needs to be a part of everything we do.
Right. We never graduate from the gospel.
No, absolutely. And you know, if we look at how the New Testament is written, how many books of the New Testament are written to unconverted people? I haven't found one yet.
Right,
They're all written to converted people, mm-hmm. and they're filled with the gospel. And
Paul,
like for example, the book of Romans, Paul writing to converted people. So he says in Romans chapter 1, I'm talking to you people who are saints. I can't wait to get there to Rome to preach the gospel to you people.
Yeah.
So that should tell us that we need to hear the gospel over and over,
Amen.
Which should tell us that it has everything to do not just with our becoming converted, but also with our being sanctified, that is, our becoming like Christ.
Right. Are there any gospel mistakes we want to make sure we avoid?
Yes, there are. There's a phrase here that has become less popular over the years because I think John MacArthur wailed on this enough that it's less of a problem than it used to be. But easy believism is something that is kind of out there, and it's the idea that saving faith is mere intellectual assent. So if we hear these truths about God, and we just flip a switch in our mind and say, yeah, I believe that's true. I think those are correct facts, that is a saving response. That's what we would call easy believism. But we want our kids to understand that an appropriate saving response to the gospel is repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance is turning away from and rejecting our sin, and faith is trusting in Christ to save us. So it's not just recognizing that certain facts are true, but it's a surrendering of our lives to a Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one thing we want to avoid, easy believism. We also want to avoid confusion about baptism. Baptism doesn't save us. Baptism is our public profession of faith, and we want to make sure that we talk through those things with our kids. Baptism is the initiatory rite of the church. It's how we are recognized as being members of the church, but it doesn't save us. I want to make sure the kids understand that. We also want to make sure that our kids understand that Christ is the only way to God rather than a way to God, and we're actually going to talk about that in our next episode.
Right, so how can we teach our kids the gospel?
How can we teach them the gospel? Just like the other things that we've talked about, the doctrine of God and the doctrine of the Word, our family worship is going to be a great tool. So we just talk about it all the time. And if we're reading the gospel, so if we have like a gospel mindset, here at Providence Bible Fellowship, I think that most of us kind of wear gospel goggles. We see like the whole Bible through a gospel lens. So when we're reading Genesis, we see the gospel. And when we're reading Leviticus, we see the gospel. So if we can read the Bible that way in our family devotions, we're going to see gospel themes and be able to point those things out to our kids. And we should do that. So family worship is a great tool. I think the music that we listen to is really good. Good gospel songs playing in our homes, like Sovereign Grace music. These are like modern day hymns filled with fantastic gospel theology.
Shy Lin,
yes. So we'll give another play, a plug to our Reformed rappers.
That's right.
We may think that our kids aren't listening to these to the words of these things, but they will. So yeah. if we play these things in the car, play them in our home, our kids are going to pick them up, and these gospel themes are going to make sense. Also, discipline situations. So I think when we talked about the episode about disciplining our toddlers toward the gospel, we talked about this a little bit. But when we've got discipline situations in our homes, those are golden opportunities to talk about the gospel. So if we've got a toddler, an older kid, a teenager who is dealing with a specific issue and they can't get a handle on it, that's a great opportunity to say, look, do you see that you've got a heart problem? You need to be rescued from this. You need a new heart. And you can go through the gospel with them. If you've got a child who is already converted and they're struggling with sin, then you just take them back to the gospel and say, you know, because you are alive in Christ, God has freed you from the power of sin, and we are called by Romans 6 to live in light of the truth that we have been freed from sin. We're to present our instrument, the bodies, the members of our bodies, as instruments of righteousness to God. So, discipline situations are great opportunities to teach about the gospel in our homes.
Amen. Well, we've reached the end of our time today. Yep. Well, next week, we're going to pick up with the exclusivity of Christ.
All right. Can't wait to see.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.